We're going to turn to Romans 16, and James is going to read for us.
I think it's page 1142 in the Bibles you've got here. I wonder if you might pray as we come to God's word being read and preached. Let's pray together. Look at a moment as you're finding it. Don't hurry. 1142. Gracious, loving God, thank you that all scripture is God-breathed. Thank you it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness. And pray that by your Holy Spirit this morning you would speak to us. Work in our hearts, we pray, for we would see Jesus. If we pray in his name, amen. There are a few names here. Are you ready? Verse 1, Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who've been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I'm going to read out a list of two names. I want you to try and spot the difference between these two lists, okay? You ready? Anchors, Mr. Steve. Anakin, D. Anning, T. Ansbro, Carol. Appleton, D. Apo, K. Apps, Mr. Arana, C. Arbor, D. That's your first list. George Allen, Eric Barrett, Moses Chapel, Albert Giddings, John Hockley, William Moss, Charles Southgate, William Watson. I'm pretty sure you've never heard a sermon introduction like that. Is that fair? You've got 45 seconds. Turn to your neighbour. What do you think was the difference between those two lists of names? 45 seconds, go. Okay, I'm going to stop you there. We won't, for the time, have answers. I'm going to reveal in a few minutes what the answer was. So today we're in Romans 16. I wonder what your thought was as you heard those list of names, apart from I'm really glad I wasn't asked to read this week. The book of Romans, or the letter to the Romans, is perhaps the most influential letter that has ever been written in history. I don't mean churches, I mean history generally. It's changed the face of the world. We're here because of this letter. Paul is writing to his friends in Rome. He's not visited there before, and he's planning to come and visit them before heading off to Spain. And you might be thinking, how is it that this most amazing of letters, which it has been up to this moment, ends with this kind of thud with all these names at the end? Why is that? Have any of you ever heard a sermon on this before? I've had two occasions when it was due to be preached on. One was memorable for the wrong reasons and one for the right. For the wrong reasons, it was a Church of England church. The vicar was away, and it was someone called a lay reader who was supposed to be coming to preach in the church. And they stood up and said, "It's just a list of names. Can't preach on this," and found a different passage. The other was deeply memorable. It struck with me. It was a visiting preacher to another seminary I'd been teaching at in the past. He was an amazing man, Steve. He's pastor of a Baptist church in Houston. He was the only white person speaking at George Floyd's funeral. You may remember George Floyd from a while back. He's a very courageous man. He campaigns against payday lending. And he observed this. He said, "This isn't the text for a time of trial. This isn't the story, but much more, this is the calling of the role." For him, it's not just a list. Back to our opening question then. What was the distance between the list of those two names? Any ideas? Isn't it? Okay, nice. So one was started with surname and one was first names. I like that observation. That is definitely true. Anything else that you might have noticed? There's no reason why you should. Let me tell you. Go on.
Full name and the other one is initial and surname.
Okay, so one was full name, initial, then surname. Excellent.
One was formal and one was informal.
One was more personal than the other. They kind of go together. Let me tell you the story. The first list of names was part of an online phone directory for Halifax, a town in Yorkshire. It's basically just a list of names. Wouldn't you agree? The second, I did some research on this, these were in the memorial that was in St. James's Church just around the corner, which is now flat, and it's now a memorial on 4th Street, those who gave their lives in war. So the first was just a list, Halifax phone directory. The second, there's a story behind each one of them. There's something deeply special about each person there. And it's just like that with Romans here. It is a list, but it's not just a list. But many rush past here and think, oh, just a list of names and so on. But it is a list, but it's not just a list. It gives an amazing insight into the early church in Rome, and the early church more generally. It's quite tantalizing, actually. There are 24 names here. We almost know nothing about most of the people mentioned in this list. The situation is, Paul has never been to Rome, and he's cementing the link between him and the churches in Rome before he heads off to Spain. Did you notice this little quiz, different people here? Little quiz for you, you've got your Bibles open. Who was the first believer? We get some amazing facts here. Who was the first believer in Asia? Extraordinary. Little friend. Who was the first believer in Asia? Epaphras, verse 5, thank you. Who were believers before Paul was a believer?
Andronicus and Junia, sometimes called Junia probably, in verse 7, who were Paul's kinsmen or relations in that sense, kinsmen. Do you notice verse 7? Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, or my kinspeople. Or in verse 11, greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. So one thing you notice straight away is you've got this church in Rome made up of Jew and Gentile together. They're mixed church in that sense. Diversity in church is a glorious, wonderful thing. Where did Priscilla and Aquila live? Did you notice? Can you guess? Well, they're in Rome, aren't they? Because he's writing to them in Rome. They live in Rome, but they've obviously been all over the Gentile world because all the churches are around there. So they've made this as their base and the church that meets at their house. This is the picture of the situation in the first century. You've got lots of different churches meeting in people's house. Last one, do a bit of research. This is a tough one. Who was the letter carrier? There was no kind of email. No royal mail. Who was the letter carrier? Who carried Romans? Phoebe. Because you notice how he commends Phoebe to them and then says, greet everyone else. So Phoebe is basically entrusted with this letter of Romans to go to Rome and to read it out to them. And that's actually quite striking. There's an extraordinary prominence of women here in this list. And first you might think, actually, there's not that many. There are 9 women mentioned and 15 men. But actually, if you look carefully, twice the number of women are commended than men. Maybe because it was quite tough as a woman in that world. And so Paul highlights their extraordinary ministry that's there. Talks about Phoebe, the letter carrier. She was to go into church and to read out this letter to everyone who was there. And then you've got Junia. She's described as outstanding among the apostles. So you get the feeling this is a list, but it's not just a list. It's not like a phone directory. But did you notice they're not all valued for the same things, but they're all special to Paul. They're not all valued for the same things, but all of them are special to Paul. And that's a wonderful picture of this church family here. We're not all good or gifted or got the same things about us, but we're all precious. We can all make a difference. We've all got different personalities, different things we can contribute. And I want to notice 4 things, 4 characteristics that you notice about different people here. And you might think, I can do this, but not that, or whatever. Here we go, our first one. Generosity, verse 2. Do you see how Phoebe's described? For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. A patron in that world was the way you put your money at the disposal of someone else. So here straight away you say, it's not that wealth is a bad thing, it's what you do with it. Have any of you come across the Temu adverts? Temu? What's the slogan? Shop like a billionaire. It's basically, you have got this money, and your basic job with your money is to spend it so you can shop like a billionaire. So there are other good ads. There are other shops you can use online as well, just to be clear. That's for the recording. But he's saying here, using the money, generosity, is a patron for that. The world says happiness, joy, comes from having a lot of money and spending it on yourself. You spend shop like a billionaire. But here,
It's generosity, being a patron, releasing, enabling, partnership to facilitate, to enable God's work to carry on. There's amazing joy in that. And if the Lord has entrusted you with money, that's a great thing to use it for, to serve the Lord in that kind of way. And I'm sure the elders would say here, and Jake would say, thank you for serving the Lord and serving God's people in that way, enabling the gospel to keep being preached here and going out from here. Notice the second thing here I've noticed. See if you can spot it. Verse 6. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Verse 12. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Notice, women who had worked hard in the Lord. And this isn't scrubbing dishes. This is a picture, and certainly the word for working hard is often used by Paul to talk about his own ministry. This is about serving the Lord and the cause of the gospel. Or do you notice others are described as fellow workers? Verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers. Or verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. So do you get the picture here? Christian, he commends people not for drifting along, for floating in and out, but for getting stuck in, being fellow workers, standing alongside, working hard. There can be aloneness about pastoral ministry, but we're in this together. Now, of course, different people have different capacities, different personal circumstances. This isn't a way of saying, go on a guilt trip, and you ought to do this and this and this, and some people do wear themselves out with what they do, but there are others who perhaps could be able to give and do more and to serve. The great thing is I'm a visitor here. I have no idea whether you're one of those who could do more or could do less. I don't know. But what's the Lord saying in that? How are we serving the cause of Christ? There's no place for laziness in the Christian life. And again, I know there are people out there. I hope all blessings if you listen to this later on, but to encourage them as they're working hard for the Lord in that kind of way, whether it's youth or kids or outreach groups. So we've got generosity. You've got hard work characteristics. Here's a third one. I wonder which word you'd choose if you're going to imagine a word to just capture what these characteristics are. Verse 3 and 4. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. Verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. How would you just capture that? What word do you use? Risk their life, fellow prisoners. Brave. Something about, there's a massive bravery. There's self-sacrifice. They're putting themselves on the line. It meant a lot to him because they're willing to suffer alongside him. It might be if you're at school, I know some of you here at school or university or college, being brave, putting your head on the line or neck on the block or whatever, standing up for the Lord, standing with those in fire, with the persecuted church, supporting, encouraging, writing to, praying for, getting prayer letters and so on. So you see, you've got generosity, you've got hard work, you've got self-sacrifice or bravery. And there's a fourth one I notice here, verse 13. I describe, use the word care. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. We don't know Paul's family history, but here is someone who's looked after and been a mother, cared for, loved. What an amazing gift to be a carer of others in the church family. I think of a dear friend of ours called Hazel. Hazel, she's now in a nursing home up on Wagon Road, just on Barnet Way. But when we had little kids and we were at the church, Hazel was the most amazing carer of us. And when we had two little ones, she would take one of them off for a walk in the pram in Trent Park so Bridget could have a rest. And that sense of care,
There was one extraordinary moment when, this is for another day, I can tell you the story, but I'd fractured my spine sledging in Barnet. You think, what on earth are you doing sledging in Barnet? That's a very good question. So I was fractured my spine there, and then I was lying on the ground, and Hazel came, and she actually cancelled her Christmas plans. She's going to go to her niece. We never discovered this until 10 years later, to look after the girls while Bridget was looking after me and I was in hospital. So can you see, this is a list of names, but it's not just a list. It's not just a list, is it? Paul cements his relationships. It's his role of honour. Who knows who I mean by Jude Bellingham? Does anyone not know who I mean by Jude Bellingham? Okay, who's Jude Bellingham? Footballer. Perhaps the best in England, would that be fair at the moment? Perhaps the best English player? Pretty much close to that. This is what he said quite recently. Jude Bellingham is made up of amazing people. Don't you love that phrase? Jude Bellingham is made up of amazing people. He went on to say, it's not just me, it's because I've such a great support network. My family, my friends, my teammates. Playing football is the easiest part. Well, I'm not sure it is that easy, actually, to be fair. But Jude Bellingham's made up of amazing people. And did you notice, you can be amazing for someone else with your generosity, with your self-sacrifice, with your care, with your hard work. You can be an amazing for someone else, an amazing blessing. But I want to go in a slightly different direction this morning as we're finishing. You and I are made up of amazing people, aren't we? Wouldn't you say? Think of Jubilee. You and I are made up of amazing people. My life, my ministry is not a solo effort. I'm not some kind of superhero rise on the scene, nor any of us. We are a product of so many people's love and care. And Jesus invites us today to say, will you realize that you are made up of amazing people? What does it look like to recognize that? Think of the people special to you. I think of one. He very sadly went to be with the Lord last year, Richard. 10 years ago, he was given less than a year to live, and 10 years later, he was still alive. He had surgery, chemotherapy, 60 rounds of radiotherapy and immunotherapy. He lived until September. I didn't know how long the Lord had for him, so I wrote to him a WhatsApp message I dug out from last year, last April. This is what I wrote. Dear Richard, thanks for the update. Glad that the last week or so has been better, because it was pretty grim towards the end. Grateful to the Lord for you and for our friendship. I was reflecting this last week, what an extraordinary impact you've had on me in a good way. I've been enjoying and benefiting hugely from Pat Lencioni's writings. You put me onto them. And Simon, that's another Simon, is coming to help us at Oak Hill with management training. To say nothing of how you've helped my preaching, speaking, and communicating. Oh, and your listening ear, your love, care, and prayers. So this is a big thank you. I'm still with you, my friend. Much love, James. I wonder who'd be on your list. Your role of honor. The list that's made a difference to you in your walk with the Lord. And you may have noticed and thought, what's this going on? I've got a piece of paper and a pen as I've come into church today. How about making a list of people, just for 2 or 3 minutes now in a moment, who've been special to you in your walk with Christ, if that's what you've got, who've been generous to you with their time and their money with you, who've worked hard with you and worked alongside you, who've suffered for you and put themselves out for you, or who've cared for you. So you've got 3 minutes to write your own list, which is not just a list.
to stop you there. Do feel free to finish it later on. Why don't, when you get take this home, why don't you give, when you get home, do one or two things. You can either pray for the people involved, whether they're still alive, thank the Lord for them, and why not send them a card or a note or a WhatsApp or a text, say, I just was thinking this morning, thank you for your kindness to me, care for me, generosity to me. Because the wonderful thing is, this is a church family. One day, we're going to be gathering as God's people around his throne. We've got a foretaste of that now. And we recognize we're in this together. So it's a list, but it's not just a list. Should we pray? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for that we're made up of amazing people, those who know you and love you and have cared for us and been generous towards us in time or money, who've sacrificed themselves for us, who've worked hard alongside us, who've cared for us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the amazing privilege of being part of a family, a church family, a Christian family across the UK and across the world where there's interconnectedness and partnership. I want to thank you that we can, as we have bread and wine in a moment, we can remind ourselves of that and share in that. We want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.